No Fixed Abode. Written and read by Maeve McClenaghan. This book is dedicated to all those who lost their lives while homeless, and to those who fought so hard to prevent more unnecessary deaths. Preface. Home. I thought I knew what that meant. Thought I had a strong grasp of the importance and security of having a roof over one's head. I had, after all, been researching homelessness for more than 2 years. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Suddenly, the concept of home took on a new, elevated significance. As government after government started to impose lockdowns, asking their citizens to go home and stay there, the intense inequalities that permeated societies around the globe began to surface and crystallize in the public consciousness. How can you go home if you have no home to go to? How can you stay safe and self-isolate if you're stuck in a hostel or crammed with numerous others in one-room apartments? Housing has become the frontline defense against the coronavirus. Home has rarely been more of a life or death situation, declared Leilani Faha, UN Special Rapporteur on Adequate Housing. This was fact, not hyperbole. Before the crisis hit the UK, there were estimated to be more than 4,600 people sleeping rough across England, and around 200,000 people living in temporary accommodation. As I write this, the updated figures are unknown, lost in a world of chaos. In this strange new world, things happened quickly. Solutions were built overnight. Things fell apart just as fast. I've spent the past months watching as people whose stories I'd followed for years have tried to keep pace with the rapid changes. Those sofa surfing found their options ran out, as families and friends were no longer able or willing to put them up. Calls to youth homelessness charity Centrepoint increased by 36%. The winter shelter I volunteered at closed its doors a week early, concerned that people sleeping in such close proximity to one another posed a health risk. Evictions, although officially paused, continued surreptitiously and even increased in places. One woman I spoke to, who had fled domestic violence with her 2 sons, only to end up in a homeless hostel, suddenly found that the grim, decrepit bathroom they shared with dozens of other tenants was less of an unpleasant inconvenience, but now a potential death trap for her young children. Approximately half of all hostel residents in London shared bathroom facilities. She was eventually offered an alternative by the council, a flat in a block that had previously been condemned because it was deemed completely unsafe for habitation. One man I heard from was stuck at Heathrow Airport's departure lounge for weeks. He usually slept rough in central London, but had moved to the airport. Then, as the shops and amenities around him began to close one by one, he wasn't sure where to go next. He and dozens of other people sleeping out at the airport were moved into hotels, in rooms block-booked by councils. But he was soon replaced. Weeks later, there were dozens more people sleeping at the same airport. They had nowhere else to go. Many more people remained on the streets, and others joined them. Some had never experienced homelessness before, pushed into crisis through loss of jobs or evictions. Similar stories played out around the world. In Belgium and France, people found themselves starving, the usual food aid supplies having dried up. In Italy, the European origin point of the crisis, police were handing out fines to those sleeping rough. In Las Vegas, scores of people found themselves sleeping on the streets after their shelter was shut down. They were advised to sleep in a car park, using the parking grid squares as markers for how far apart to lie. As the deadly virus spread, their fates looked bleak. People experiencing homelessness have a range of vulnerabilities that makes a pandemic all the more dangerous. Even before the crisis hit, we knew that those who are homeless have higher mortality rates and worse health outcomes in general. In the UK, research shows they are 3 times more likely to have respiratory problems. Many are prematurely aged, with people in their 40s having equivalent health outcomes to those housed in their 70s. Others have mental health issues or substance abuse.